Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masachet Shavuot, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. About to take a look at the third Mishnah in the fourth parak of Masachet Shavuot. And we are in the middle of our discussion of Shavuot HaEdut, which I introduced in the previous podcast. And now we're going to see the mechanism or the procedure. Shavuot HaEdut Ketzad, how does it work? Amar L'Shnayim Bo'u Vaho HaEduni. The plaintiff, as we'll see that this is the Tovea, comes to two guys and says, come and testify for me. And they answer, Shvuah she'inanu yudin l'chayidut. They take an oath that they don't know any testimony for him. This happens outside of Beit Din. O sha'amru lo einanu yudin l'chayidut, or they just answer without the oath, mashbi'ani alechem, and he then says, I'm administering an oath to that effect, v'yamru amein, and they answer amein, hare elu chayavin. And then if it turns out they're lying, then they are liable for korban olevi oreid. Now, hishbia alehem chamesh pe'amim chutz le'beit din. If five times, multiple times, outside of Beit Din, he issued the shvua, or they were nishpa, uva'u le'beit din v'hodu. And then they came to Beit Din, and they admitted that they knew eidut. Pturin, they're off the hook. Without denial in Beit Din, nothing happens. We'll see why. Kafru, but if in Beit Din they continue to hold to their denial, that they knew any testimony, and it turns out that they're lying, Chayavin al kol achat v'achat, then they are liable for each oath that they took outside of Beit Din. However, hishbi'a lehen chamisha pamim bifnei Beit Din, if in front of Beit Din he was mashbi'a them, and was mashbi'a them again, and again, and again, and they continued to deny, enan chayavin al achat, they're only liable for one. We'll see why. Amar Bishon matam. What's the reason? Ho'il ve'inam yicholim lachzor lahodot. Because once they denied in Beit Din that they know anything, they can no longer claim, oh yes, we do know testimony and testify, because of the rule of Kevan Shehigid Shuv Eno Choser Umagid. Once somebody has testified, they cannot recant or change their testimony. So once in Beit Din, he has said, I don't know, then he cannot change his mind. And therefore, he cannot ever fix it. He's only chayav for the first one. Okay. Now, the next Mishnah works as follows. Kafru shnehen ke'achad, if the two witnesses denied knowledge of testimony simultaneously, see how that plays out, then shnehen chayavin, they're both liable. But bezeach harzeh, if they denied one after the other, harishon chayav, but hasheni patur. Why is hasheni patur? Because he couldn't accomplish anything anyways. The first guy already said that he doesn't know any testimony, and therefore he can't even change his mind. So this guy really wouldn't be very helpful anyways. So his refusal to testify doesn't make a difference. Now, kafar chad v'hodai chad, and this should be quite obvious, ha-kofar chayav. If the first guy denied it, and the second guy admitted he knew testimony, only the first guy's chayav. It should be obvious, we'll see what it's referring to. Hayush techite edim, let's say there were two groups of edim, four edim, let's say. And kafra rishona v'chaka kafra shnia, let's say the first group denied any knowledge, doesn't matter, the second group could still testify. So if they denied it, then shtehen chayavot, both groups are chayav. Either group could be enough. So therefore, even after the first group denied it, the second group still has the opportunity to help this guy, and they denied it, so they're chayav. Okay, Amar Shmuel, let's start with this. Let's say that the two guys saw that the plaintiff was running after them, chasing him down, and they proactively initiated the oath. Amrulo, what are you running after us for? We take an oath that we don't know any edut. It turns out they're lying. Pturin. Why? They first have to hear a claim from him. You know testimony for me. Come and testify. Not inferred from the fact that he's chasing them. So my kamash v'lan. Shmuel's not teaching us anything new. Tanina. Shilach b'yaravdo o sha'amar lahen hanitba. We'll see this in a later Mishnah. That if, let's say, the Toveya, the plaintiff, sent his slave to go get these witnesses, or the defendant came and said, look, let's get it over with. You guys take an oath that you don't owe any testimony for him. They are patur. Why? They have to hear the claim from the plaintiff. So therefore, Shmuel's not teaching us anything new. The answer is Ratzach Harian needs to be Chalei. The case where the guy's running after them had to be taught. Why? Sakadat Achamein, I would have thought to say, Kemen de Ratzach Harian, Kemen Damar Lehudami. Since he's running after them, it's as if he said to them, come and testify for me. Kamash Malan, that he really has to enunciate the words. V'hanami Tanina, but that's also clear. Why? Because in our Mishnah it says Shvuat Eidut Ketzad, Amar Leidim, Boi Vahu Iduni, Shvuat, etc., etc. In other words, the whole procedure starts with the Toveya saying to them, come and testify. Amar In Lo Amar Lo, which means if he doesn't speak, this whole process doesn't get started. So the answer to that is Amar Lav Dafka. The fact that he says it, that doesn't necessarily have to happen. And I'll prove it to you. Di Lo Te Ma'achi, at the beginning of the next parak, Gavi Pikadon, we have Shvuata Pikadon, which a Mafkid will administer to a shomer saying, you have my stuff. And it says, Shvuata Pikadon Ketzad, Amar Lo Tein Li Pikadon, Sheyesh Li Biyadcha. And there the Mafkid says to the shomer, give me the Pikadon. Prachinami Amar In Lo Amar Lo, and there he has to say it. V'chichesh Ba, Bamitoko, Koldehu. The Torah says that as long as he denies it, our understanding is any kind of denial. So there, the mafkid does not have to say anything. Ela amar lav davka. So the amar in Parakeh Mishnah Aleph is lav davka. It means he said, or he didn't say, he communicated it. Hakarami lav davka. So our Mishnah also, it doesn't have to mean that he said. Maybe he was running after him. So Shmuel has to teach it. Hi, Mai, let's take a look at it. I amar bishlama amar dahacha davka. So if you'll agree that the amar in our Mishnah means he really had to say it, and it's deliberate and specific, then Tanahatam Atuhacha. Then I understand why they mentioned Amar in the next Mishnah, where it certainly is not necessary. They did it because to keep the pattern from our Mishnah. Ali Amar, Lomar Dahatam Dafka, Lomar Dahacha Dafka. If you'll say that the Amar in the next Mishnah and the Amar in our Mishnah are not necessary, then Amar Mar Lamali the Mitnaya. So why mention it at all? In other words, if it's never necessary, why mention it at all? The answer is Dilma Orcha de Milta Kamashpalan. Oh, maybe it's teaching that that's the normal way things happen. Because it's picking the typical case. The typical case is the guy who wants something comes up to the guy who's withholding it from him and says, give me testimony or give me my thing. Okay, so it's possible that Shmuel really was teaching something new. Tanya Kavate to Shmuel, and we have a bright that supports that. Ra'usha Ratzachareyan, if he saw them running after him, they saw him running after them. Amrulo Mata Bacharin Shwashim Lachaidut Pturin. They're exempt if they take such an oath, because he has to make a claim. But if he's a mafkid and he's running after them, and they turn around and say, Shvua, that we don't have any of your stuff, and they're lying, they are Chayav. So we came out saying that Amar of our Mishnah is Dafka, Amar of the next Mishnah is Lav Dafka, but it follows the pattern. Okay, the Mishnah said that if he issues an oath several times outside of Beit Din, and then they come in and deny it, in Beit Din, the Chayiv for each time. Manalan da kfir ba Beit Din and Mechayvi. How do we know that he has to deny it in Beit Din for anything to happen? Because remember, the first clause is if he administers several oaths and they come into Beit Din and they admit that they know testimony, they're off the hook. So without denial in Beit Din, nothing happens. Achutz the Beit Din lo Mechayvi. So Abayim are crying, lo yagid v'nasa avono. The text says, if he doesn't testify, he's guilty. So it's only in a place where if they would testify, then the other guy would have to pay, meaning that their testimony would make a difference. It only works in Beit Din. So Papa then asked his Rebbe, and he said, Ihachi, eima shvua gufa Beit Din. So maybe the oath itself has to be in Beit Din. Right? V'shlo Beit Din lo. And of course, our entire Mishnah is built on the distinction where if you administer the oath several times outside of Beit Din and then deny it in Beit Din, you're chayv for each one of them. So Lo Salkadaita Chabai answers, Detanya Leachat, in the Pasuk about Shvuat Bitui, it says, Vayaki Hashem Lachat Mi'elet. Sorry, the Pasuk that sums up all three things, Shvuat Eidut, Yidiot Hatum, and Shvuat Bitui, it says, Vayaki Hashem Leachat Mi'elet, which we originally used in the previous parak to say, you can only be chayiv one time. But here we flip it and say, L'chayiv HaKol Achat Ve'achat, that's used to say that you could be chayav for each shvuah multiple times, meaning for one item. And if you think that the only place you could administer the oath is in Beit Din, you're not chayav for multiple oaths in Beit Din. And we even know the reason. Because if they administers the oath in Beit Din, and he says no, and then again and again and again, the minute he said no, there's nothing more he can do. So therefore, if the Torah is hinting with the word le'achat that you could be chayiv multiple times for multiple shvuot on the same item, it has to be that those shvuot could take place outside of Beit Din. Hashvamina shvuah chutz le Beit Din, Ukfira beveitin. So we know the kfira has to be in beitin, him lo yagid, and the shvua has to be possible at least outside of beitin to set up multiple chiyuvim. Okay, kafrushtem ka'achat. We said if they deny simultaneously, they're both chayiv. Ha'if shal it's the same, but we have a general rule that you cannot do two things simultaneously. Two people can't act simultaneously with perfect simultaneity, meaning that somebody had to be first. So Rav Chista gives the answer, Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It follows the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, very famous in Masachet Bechorot. Damar Shal at some time, it is possible to have two things happen simultaneously or two people talk absolutely simultaneously. There you go. Even the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, could admit it here. That the first guy denied it, and then the second guy denied it, Tochkede Dibur of the first. Wait, talking to Dibur Kadibur Damian, that's all like one speech. So that's considered simultaneous enough for this purpose. And we'll see in a minute why that would work. Amalei Rav Achav Midifti the Ravina. He says, Mechte Tochkede Dibur Kamahave. What's the Shir of Tochkede Dibur? Kadei Sheila Tami the Rav. It's a machloket if it's Sheila Tami the Rav, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Or Vikadami Tochkede Sheila Rav the Talmid. Or it's the Rebbe teaching, greeting a student even shorter, Shalom Alecha. So Adam or Shua she'ain ani yodin l'cha edut tuvahave. But to say the denial is longer than that. So how could you be talking to Dibur? The answer is quite simple. May call achad v'chad talk to Dibur shachavero. That's a borrowed phrase from the issue that we saw in Sanhedrin about testimony, about a lot of testimony coming together. But what the application here is that the second guy begins his denial. Talk de dibur of the end of the previous guy's denial, and then it all becomes one long dibur. You don't have to complete it, talk de dibur of the other guy doing it. Alright, so that settles that. Now, b'zeh achar zeh, we said, harishon chayav ashini patur. Now, if the first guy denies it, then the second guy's off the hook, no matter what he does, because his testimony wouldn't mean anything. And the basic bottom line here is, that if there's only one witness, you can't administer Shvuat Eidut, or if you do, he's not chayiv for it. That's what seems to come out of here. So it needs an Elokei Aitana. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to follow Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Tanya Mashpia Eid Echad Patur. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon Chayev says if you administer the oath to one Eid, he's chayiv, he lies. So Leim of Akemi Palgi, let's make a suggestion, and it's an audacious suggestion. Tamar Sava Eid Echad Kiata Lishvuahu Dekata. The Tanakama holds, like we all know the case. So when one witness comes to testify to a debt, all he can accomplish is force a shvuah. Marsavra edachad kiata l'mamonakata. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon perhaps holds that when one witness comes, he can actually extract money. Al pi edachad. And then we'd have to interpret that al pi shnayim edim, etc. is only about mitah, and maybe about knas, maybe makot, but not about momon. Tisbra, think about it. Hamar baye. Abaye has this epigram. We'll see what it means. Akomodim beit sota. Komodim beit sota. Machloket beide sota, hakol modim be'ed echad, hakol here being Rabbi Elazar Shimon and Rabbanan, and this is all about Shvuat Eidut, hakol modim be'ed shekenegdo chashur al shvuah. We'll go through all of these. But the fact that it says hakol modim be'ed echad means everybody agrees that Eid echad is only going to come for shvuah. Ela dechulim Eid echad ki'ati l'shvuah ka'ati. And what's the machloket? V'hacha v'hakim ipal gimar savar davar goyim l'mamon k'mamon dami. Rabbi Elazar Shimon says that since my testimony as one witness will force the other guy to take an oath, and nobody wants to take an oath like Rashi points out and lie, therefore, if he's really lying, chances are my testimony is going to cause him to pay, but not directly obligate him to pay. That's called Davar Gorem L'Mamon. So Rabbi Elazar Shimon says that's considered Mamon. Umar Savar Lav K'Mamon Dami, and Tanakama says no, Davar Gorem L'Mamon is not K'Mamon Dami, and therefore, there's no Chiyuv. All right, that settles the problem. Now let's look back at Abaye. Gufa Mar Abaye, Komo Dimbeid Sota, Komo Dimbeid Sota, Chok Beid Sota, Ede Sota, Hakomo Dimbeid Echad, Komo Dimbeid Shinkedu Choshvel Shvua. Those five. So four out of the five we have an agreement on, and Machloket about one thing. Let's see what they are. Hakomo Dimbeid Sota. What's that? Shechayav Beid Tuma, meaning you have two witnesses to kinui, which is the warning the husband gives about her being with a certain man when he suspects her having an affair. And you have two witnesses. I'm going now to cover all the deot in the beginning of Sota, Rav Elazar, Rav Shua, and two witnesses that she was actually in seclusion with the guy. which at that point would lead her to have to drink the waters of the Meisota and go through the ceremony. However, there's one witness who saw them actually in flagrante delicto. And therefore, that witness alone, his testimony, really would make the difference. And therefore, everybody agrees that that aid tuma to Rachmana, Hemne, the Torah gave him ne'amanut, tichti ve'aid ein ba, only if there's no testimony at all that she really had a relations, kol she'esh ba, any kind of testimony, even one person, would be enough to dissolve the marriage. Wouldn't get her killed, but would be enough to dissolve the marriage. All right, that's the first one. Hakom odim be'ed sota. Hakom odim be'edei sota. What's that? Shepatur be'edei kinui. If we have two witnesses who the husband claims were there when he issued the warning and they refused to come, they're certainly patur even if they lie. Why? Tavegorim degorim. That's two steps away. Because even if they would testify, all it would do would be to set up the possibility that if there was now testimony of her being in seclusion with the guy, then Sota could get kicking. So therefore, that's davar digorem, digorem de mamon, and everybody agrees that that's not close enough. Machloket be'edei sota, the machloket rovus of Shimon Rabbanon, about which edei sota, be'edei stira, the two witnesses that she was in seclusion. Why? Demar savar davar gorem de mamon kamamon dami, because Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that's like mamon, because if she refuses to drink, she'll lose her ketubah. And Marsavar, therefore, v'chayav, Marsavar, lav k'mamon dami upatur. Rabbanan say it's not going to directly cause her to lose money, and therefore, for him to keep his ketubah, therefore, they are patur. Now, akomodin, let's look at the other two, and we switch the order, you'll see why. In a case where the opposite number can't take an oath because he's suspected of lying under oath, Hakomodim be'ed achad, what's that to Rabbi Abba? We'll see. Hakomodim v'shekenegdo chashdol shvua to chashid man. Who's suspected? Ilem et chashid lova. If you think that the lova, the debtor, is chashud and he can't take a shvua, so therefore this one guy comes and testifies, and therefore he'd be chayv a shvua. So damale malva yatid asadetli ahave mishtabana v'shakilna. The malva says to him, had you come and testified for me, I would have taken an oath and I would have gotten the money. So why doesn't the real recalcitrant test witness come and say, I didn't know you were going to take an oath. Who says you will take an oath? Maybe I'll come testify and then you'll walk away and I'll look bad. So I don't want to come testify. That's Darvar Garm Lamamot. So therefore it should be a machloket. But it's not a machloket. Abaye said, I call Modim. So who is it who's suspected? If you have a case where both the debtor and the creditor, the plaintiff and the defendant, are choshed al shvua, what's the halacha? Tamar chazra shvua l'mechuyev la. The shvua goes back now to the one who's chayav, meaning the lova should have taken the shvua, he's choshed. So it bounces back to the malva. The malva can't take a shvua because he's also choshed. It bounces back to the lova. Umitoch sheino yachol yishava mishalem, since he can't take an oath, he has to pay. Which means now there's nothing to wonder about. I didn't know you would take an oath. Right away, the payment is direct. And therefore, everybody will agree, in a case where they're both choshed, that one witness has to come, and if he doesn't, he could be chayiv for shvuat ha'idut. The last one was, Hakom odim be'ed achad, what's that to Rabbi Abba? I mean, the very famous case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, the piece of silver, and Rabbi Abba's judgment. Tahu gavar dechat of Nascha michavrei, there was a fellow who grabbed a piece of silver from another guy. Ata the kamei to Rabbi Ami. They came to Rabbi Ami in court, in judgment. Haviati Rabbi Abba kamei. Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of him as a student. Azal aiti chadsa, dan imichtav chatamine. So the plaintiff, the guy who had things stolen from him or taken from him, brought one witness that this guy took it from him. Amarle, the guy who grabbed it, said, in chatfi v'didi chatfi. I grabbed it, but it was mine. I was taking it back. So now watch what happens. Amar Rabbi Ami, Echel Dane Dayane Lahaidina. How should a Dayan judge this case? Li Shalem, if we tell the guy who grabbed it to give it back. So Leka Tresade, we don't have two witnesses proving that he took it. Liftere to let him go. Haikachad Sad, then Mikhtav Chataf. We have one witness that he grabbed it. Li Shtava, to have the guy who took it take an oath. Came with Amar In Chitvi Chatvi Vididi Chatvi. Once he said, I did grab it, but it was my own. Have like a Goslin. We see that he's a Goslin. Because we can't necessarily believe him about the second half, but he does admit to having grabbed it. So he can't take an oath. What happens? So therefore, the guy who grabbed it is chayav b'shvua, but he can't take an oath. He has to pay, so he has to go back to the guy he grabbed it from. Okay, Amar Papa. So the last two are really very similar, and that's why the Gemara flipped the order of Abaya's epigram. Amar Papa. Papa had a similar thing. Hakomo din be'ed mita. Ed mita is somebody who testifies that a man died to allow the wife to marry. Shuchayav. Hakomo din be'ed mita shu patur. In some circumstances, everybody agrees that he's chayav when he refuses to testify, and everybody agrees in another case that he's patur. Hakomo din be'ed mita shu patur. When's that? Da'amar lalei didav. He first told the wife, I saw your husband's body, etc., and with enough simonim, and the leg was cut above the knee. V'lomar lehu leveitin. And he didn't tell the beitin. Tidnane, shashamra meit pali, tinasei. Meit pali titiabem. If a woman comes to court and says, I have reliable information that he's dead, she can get married. So therefore, once he told her, his testimony is not going to help at all. She's already able to get married. He didn't tell her. He didn't tell the Beitin yet. So she drags him in and says, tell the Beitin what you know. He refuses. Then she can mashpia him, and then he's chayav, because what financial side is, we're going to see in the next podcast, it has to be anchored in a financial interest. Financial issue is the ketubah. So shma mina mashpia ide karka chayav. So it sounds like if you have edim who know about a deal involving karka, because ketubah is collected from the karka, you're chayav, but ein nishpayin al karkaot. The answer is still with the tefis sametaltalim. Maybe she grabbed some metaltalim in his life, and now the judgment is whether she can keep it. So it's not only about karka. Okay, kafar achad ve'odah achad. Now we have this strange thing in the Mishnah which said that if the first guy denied it and the second guy then admitted it, that he knew testimony, that the second guy's patur. So that's a no-brainer. Hashta bezachar zet davayu kakafri. If they both deny it in sequence, amart rishon chayav sheni patur, only the first guy's chayav. Kafar achad ve'odah achad nibaya. If one guy denied it and the second guy admitted it, do we have to tell me that the second guy is off the hook? So lo tzrich and gonshe kafru shnayan. We're talking about a case where they both denied it. And together, v'chazar echad mehen v'hoda v'toch de dibor. And within toch de dibor of his denial, he changed his mind. You can recant within that short period of time. And said, actually, I do no testimony. V'kamash lo and toch de dibor k'dibor damian. So what's the Mishnah teaching us? That toch de dibor is considered one dibor, and it's not considered a new version. So we go back to our discussion earlier about simultaneity. According to Rav Chista, who said that our Mishnah follows Rav Yosef Glili of Avshalat Samtseim. So Reish Avshalat Samtseim, in the case of they were moted together, it's right really together. The Sefer Tzarech Lashon Talk De Dibur K'dibur. I mean, the Sefer is there to teach you Talk De Dibur. Elul Rabbi Yochanan said that first case of simultaneity was really Talk De Dibur. Reish Talk De Dibur, Sefer Talk De Dibur. Why do you have to tell me two times the same rule, the testimony that's modified, Toch de Dibor, is one? Sarte Lamali. The answer is Maud Tema Animili Kfir. Maybe if the two statements are consistent with each other, A is Kofer and B is Kofer, then Toch de Dibor might work. A Kfir of Ahoda, but if one guy says one thing and then changes his mind, A Malo, I might think that's not Toch de Dibor, because after all, changing his mind. So this might be a new thing. Kamash Polan, no, that the Shir of Toch de Dibor works for anything. Okay, at the end of the Mishnah said, Ayushte kite edim. If you had two groups of edim, and the first one denied it, the second one could still be on the hook. So, I kafar rishon v'chakach kafar shniyah, bishlam hashniyah t'chayiv. I understand why the second one is chayav. The kafar la rishona, because the first group was kofar, and the second group now could testify. El rishona, amai, why are they chayiv? Hakayim ishniyah. After all, when the first group denies it, they could just turn around and say, we're not hurting you. There's another group of witnesses here. So why would we be chayiv? Some Ravina, Hachamai Askin, we're talking about, Kingon Shaita Shniya Vishak Kfirat Rishona, Krovim and Ashotayan. That what happened was, when the first group denied it, the second group was not yet valid witnesses. Why? Because they, or even just one of them, was a korov to the parties through marriage. The Nashotayan goes to Sod, and their wives are on their deathbeds. Meaning, I might think a goses is on his way to die, and therefore we should assume that they're already sort of dead. And these guys are really sort of kosher edim already. And therefore, the denial of the first group doesn't mean anything because we got other witnesses in the wings. Kamashmalan astumia lo shachi. Therefore, it teaches you that right now these women are alive. Therefore, right now these guys are krovim and they can't testify. And therefore, right now the first group is all they've got. And if they deny it, they're chayav for having deprived the person of his opportunity to collect what's rightfully his. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in the next Mishnah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.